Good morning, everyone. As it was mentioned earlier, I think the heat is on everybody's mind, but a special welcome to all of you out there on the internet. Hopefully you're enjoying the message today in air-conditioned comfort, and that we are too here, but this is the time of year when you hope your air conditioning doesn't go out. So pray that that will not happen as well. You know, all of us, no matter our age, our sex, our race, our economic status in life, in going through life, we encounter changes. I'm going to call them today transitions. Transitions in life as we go through it. While the size of those transitions or the difficulty of them may vary from, again, maybe even earlier, from kindergarten to old age, we have transitions that we go through in our lifetime. We go from high school graduation, when cares begin to pile on a little bit more. If you can remember back that far for some of us, high school was a pretty good time back. High school to me, and I know a lot of people have not had these same experiences, was a wonderful time. I'm still very much in touch with my high school graduating class. We have some kind of a meeting almost every year for the whole class, and there's a meeting every month for those that are able to get there, so they continually are sending out messages and keeping up with everyone. So it was a very, very pleasant time, a very rewarding time, very enjoyable time. College, again, enjoyable, very profitable. The thing I remember most about college was my last year as a senior. I was lucky enough to be exempt from all my finals. If I had a certain grade point average, I was able to do that. So I played while everybody else was taking finals. I won't meet this, but I did a lot of things I probably shouldn't have done. But played a lot of bridge and harassed everybody else who was studying. But I remember most the fact that my nephew was born the day after I was born, in the sense of days, but not in years. And my mom and dad chose to go to his birth, their grandson, instead of coming to my graduation. I told him again this past weekend, I went down for a wedding in Mobile, that I never forget his birthday because he cheated me out of my parents coming to my graduation. I'm not bitter. I just told him, mail me that sucker and I'm going home. So anyway. But we have a lot of difficulties that come along, a lot of transitions. Some are more traumatic than others. We have the times I've said we go on to medical problems that may come along. Many of you have experienced in your family divorces, deaths, other transitions of life that we go about. While these transitions may be common, in effect, they're the same thing to all of us, even common in type, that does not make them any easier to handle, to navigate. But, you know, life transitions, they bring about change. You can go back and think, you know, where you were at certain times and how much things have changed since that time. Can you imagine yourself the day you graduated from high school being where you are today? That was not in my plans. So I'm sure it probably wasn't in most of yours. They bring about change. Whether we admit it or not, most of us don't like change. We're satisfied with where we are. We like the status quo, you might say. Especially if we begin to maybe, in certain situations, lose control. I think often, many times, our first reaction to change is one of frustration, something we can't handle, something we cannot control. Then possibly anger. And I've even talked with some people who have become angry at God for letting something like this, you know, how can this happen to me? I'm a child of God. I'm a Christian. I'm following God. How could this happen to me? When most of the time, these transitions, these changes, as Solomon describes them in the book of Ecclesiastes, is simply a season or a time of life that we are going through. Solomon was described within the pages of the Word as the wisest man who has ever lived. If you would turn with me over to the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 3, where he goes through the naming of these seasons. And I want to go through them beginning in verse 1 and just pay careful and close attention to them, see if they don't cover just about everything in one way or another, in broad terms, that you have gone through in your life. He says, to everything there is a season, and there is a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born, we've all experienced that. A time to die. Those in this room haven't yet experienced that, but you have experienced death within your family. For my wife and I, her mother and her father and her sister have all died. My mother and father and my brother has died. So, you know, we've all experienced these things in our life. There's a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. If you ever thought you were where you were going to be for the rest of your life and you were settled in, and then all of a sudden something comes along and you're off to the races and here we go again kind of a deal. That's what that's talking about. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep. And I know we've all gone through that as well. But there is also a time to laugh, to really show our joy. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. My children remind me every day, well, not every day, but often, please get rid of all that stuff in your house so we don't have to get rid of it when you die. Now, they may do like my wife's family did. When we went after her mother and father and her sister had all died to Chicago to clean out the house, they stuck money in places all over that house. Coffee cans, coat pockets, you name it. Things in the pantry and things in there. We found well over, I think it was over $2,500 in various forms of cash stuck all over that house. And we never looked everywhere. We finally got out of there after a week and told the real estate agent, sell this house before the first drop of snow falls. We don't want snow to fall on it. And gave everything that was left in there to the brother, I think it was, of the real estate agent who was a minister and said, your church can have it all. Everything that's in there, just get this house sold and get us out of here. So it was a time that we, you know, went through to cast away. We didn't want any more of the stuff. We loaded it down and drug one car home with us behind the hitch and brought everything we could inside of it. But there was a lot of stuff there. A time to rend. A time to sow. A time to keep silence. Now, some people have more difficulty with that than others. So, but a time also to speak. And a time to love, but a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. As I said, I think in broad terms, it discusses and mentions just about everything that we as human beings, as individuals, go through in our life. In addition, Scripture has an awful lot to say about these transitions, or transitions in general themselves, and the principles of how we can, as Christians, those who rely upon God, to navigate through these transitions and to live life, as it were, the way God wants us to, even with all of its challenges. The very first principle I'd like to mention with you today is every transition, every change, every time has a time limit. Now, I don't mean you're going to find that in the Bible that, you know, it's going to last X number of days, weeks, or months, but simply it's going to end. There is a old saying that many of you have probably heard before, and somebody may have even said it to you, or you may have said it to someone else. This too shall pass. And it does. Sometimes when we're in our darkest days, our darkest hours, take hope, take, you know, consolation in the fact that this too, like everything else, will pass. But there is one certainty in life, and that, of course, is God and His Word. Everything else will pass. Over in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 35, it says this, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Something we can count upon, something we can depend upon, something that we can rely upon no matter what. There's another saying that, again, I'm sure all of you have heard. You may or may not have ever used it. It says, what doesn't kill you will do what? Make you stronger. Now, I'm not going to ask for testimonies of anybody of, you know, who's experienced that and understands that, but I think you do. I think you understand it. I remember one particular situation I went through that I thought it was the end of the world. But when I came through it, looked back on it, it wasn't near as bad as I anticipated it being or as it was going through it once it was over with. It was not that difficult. It had ways that I was able to transition through it and make everything work as it came out the end. As I said in mind, if you think back over some of these events, if you think back over some happenings in your life that were very traumatic at that particular time, and if you think about it now, it wasn't nearly as bad as you thought it was going to be. In Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8, it's something similar to that. It says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And I know I can think back over numerous situations in my life where you were beginning to go into something and you thought, this is going to be rough, this is going to be tough, this is going to be bad. But it was not that way after all. But there is another scripture based upon that I'd like, all of you know this scripture. In fact, you're not going to hear a single scripture today that you haven't heard before. But in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, it says, and we know that all things work together for what? Good. For good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose. Why are you here? You were called according to God's purpose. Do you love God? I think we all do. It says all things will work together for good. Now, it doesn't say that's going to immediately happen. Sometimes our patience is tried a little bit. But that is the end outcome that God has promised. The next principle I'd like to discuss with you very briefly is sometimes these transitions are difficult to understand, much less accept in our life. But sometimes these changes, these transitions, these seasons of life are necessary, as it were, for us to grow. We may have reached a point in our life where we're being stagnant a little bit. They're necessary for us to learn. They're necessary for us to become a useful servant for God. Someone who is focused upon Him, focused upon His way of life, for the calling that He has given to us and the part that we have in that. I think all of us tend to, as I mentioned earlier, resist change. Especially if that change begins to take us out of where, as I mentioned earlier, we're accustomed to our comfort zone. Everybody likes to settle in where they are. And, you know, I did not want to come to Ambassador College. I was, in one sense of the word, forced to. But I came. And it was the best. I was changing my comfort zone. My brother walked up and down my back more than one time because of it and other things that were involved with it. And it was difficult. When I was put on the bus to come out here, I had just sold my brand new Pontiac GTO that I had just acquired during my senior year in college, the car of my dreams. Still, every time I see one, I have a little bit of an ache in my heart. But I couldn't make the payments on that and go to school at the same time. So I had to sell it. And then a good friend of mine and his wife, a wife-to-be as it turned out, put me on the bus to come to Ambassador College, saying that they thought I was going off to a monastery and they'd never ever see me again. Well, they did see me again, and it was not a monastery. It was the best decision of my life that I did not really make on my own. I had a lot of help in making that decision. But that life transition was necessary. I would not be where I am today without it. I have no idea where I would have been. I hate to really even think about that. But it gives us an opportunity to change where we're going, to get out of the rut, to get out of our comfort zone, and make changes. Over in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and verse 1, again, it speaks to that as we went to it, because it says, the very beginning, to everything there is a season, and there is a time to every purpose under the heaven. And we change. Think back, you know, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 50 years ago, who you were, where you were, what you were doing, where you were in life. And we need to change. We get sometimes so wrapped up in life, as it were. We're somewhat even, you might say, mesmerized in our own little world, that we sometime, if we're not careful, can lose track of the bigger picture that God has for us. Over in 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, it says, "Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith," now we'll not ask for a show of hands, but how many of you have gone through a trial of your faith? I dare say everybody in this room at one time or another, to one degree or another, maybe more than once, and maybe there's some more yet ahead of us. But it says that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than that of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. See, that's where God is focused. That's where Jesus Christ is focused, on that end result. And whatever it takes to help us get there, to be there, that's what He's going to do. And it may make us sometimes uncomfortable. It may be a trial of our faith. But it will be a trial of our faith that if we go through it, if we put our hope and our faith and our trust in God, we will be better off at the end of it. Sometimes it is necessary for God to, in effect, uproot us, maybe turn us around because of His vision for the end time, as it were. Let's go over in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 4, it says, "Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble." Have you ever experienced a time when you were comforted, you were given strength through something, that it wasn't long after that that you had a similar situation that someone else needed help and comfort in? Maybe that was the reason you went through that little trial, so that you could be a comfort to someone else. It says the comfort that we use then by the comfort wherewith we ourselves were comforted of God. "For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ." And then another scripture along the same line, Romans chapter 8 and verse 18. For it says, "For I reckon..." Paul must have been a southerner there. "For I reckon..." How many of you use the word "reckon" like that? "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." It's the end result that's important. We may go through some difficult times. We may stumble our toe a couple times. We may feel like we've been deserted at times. But it's not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in each of us. So even though some of the transitions that we go through in life are uncomfortable, often even possibly painful, in many cases they are necessary and sometimes even essential for God to mold us and to prepare us and to bring us to be what He wants us to be. We talk about some of the heroes, you might say, of the Bible. Can you imagine the challenges that men like Abraham, Moses, Job, David, Paul, we could go on down the road. Some of the things that they went through, the changes they had to go through in life. Abraham told, "Get up, get out. Go to a place you've never been before. Pack it all up and head out." Think that might not scare you a little bit? I've never done that. I guess as close as I've ever was when I came and I packed my bag and came to Ambassador College. Didn't know what I was getting into. Had some apprehension about it. But as usual, it turned out to be the best thing that ever happened in my life. The transitions that you and I go through are for a purpose in our life. Whenever we are faced with a difficult time, during one of these transitions that we go through, during difficulties that come along, it's changes are being made in our life. Remember again over in 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning in verse 6, he says, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that he may then exalt you in due time, casting all of your cares upon him. Dumping your cares, coming before God's throne, and laying all of our troubles, all of our difficulties, all of our cares, our concerns at his feet. For he cares for you. Be sober. Simply means be discreet and watching. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that these same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ, that after you have suffered a little while, after we've suffered a little while, and we have sometimes, he will make you perfect, he will establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. That's why we're here. That's why we're here today. That's why we have been called. That's the purpose, the goal that we have in our life. Most of us, especially in this day and age, live our lives in a flash. We're constantly on the go. We're always doing something. We're always too busy. We're always behind. We don't always take the time to stop, to study, and to pray, much less take the time to reflect upon the things that we have studied and to meditate upon them and how they apply in our life. There's some really good, sound advice found over in the book of Philippians. If you turn over to Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to begin at verse 4 in Philippians chapter 4. Rejoice in the Lord. And then there's a word added. Always. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. Again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation, or your patience, be known unto all men. For the Lord is at hand. Be careful. Don't be anxious about anything. But in everything, by prayer and by supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Not on our difficulties, not on our problems, not on our faults. The things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. It's a pretty simple statement. Do. Don't just think about them. Don't just talk about them. Don't, discuss them. Do them. And the God of peace shall be with you. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am in, therewith to be content. Now, if the Apostle Paul, to make that statement, if you're familiar with his life, he was in some situations that were pretty hairy, pretty difficult, pretty stressful. Beatings, in the sea. You know the scriptures, it goes through all the things that he went through. He says, I have learned to be content. I know both how to be abased and know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. And then in verse 13, an extremely famous scripture, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's our motto. That should be our version, our way as well. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. It's imperative that we spend time in prayer and in Bible study in our lives. But it's doubly so when we're going through one of these difficulties or one of these transitions or changes in our life. Not only, though, to pray and to study, but as I mentioned earlier, to meditate upon these, to reflect on what is happening, on what God has told us, on the numerous promises that he has made, one of which he says, I will not tempt you above what you can stand, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape. That's a promise we can bank upon. That's a promise that we can take to the bank. It's crucial that during these times of transitions, especially if they're more difficult than others, that we spend the time with God that we need to do so that He can complete the work in us that He started in many cases many years ago. Because again, that's what it's all about. It's equally important, however, that you and I not get bogged down, get stuck in the quagmire of self-pity. Woe is me, all the difficulties, all the troubles I'm going through. You know, nobody's ever suffered like I have. Wrong. We look at the Bible, all the sufferings that went on there. And I don't mean to make light in any way of what's happening in the Bahamas and happened all up and down the East Coast. None of us sitting in this room have ever been through anything like that. There was a lady from the Bahamas yesterday on news. She was standing out in the middle of nothing but shattered wood. I mean, for as far as the eye could see, there was nothing as tall as she was. Everything was on the ground. She said, I've lost my car. I've lost my home. I've lost everything I have in life. And I don't even know where my family is. Anybody in this room been through that before? I haven't. I haven't even come close. In Job chapter 42, Job did a little bit of wallowing in self-pity. Job chapter 42 and verse 1, he later said, Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything and that no thought can be held from you. Who is he that hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech you, and I will speak. I will demand of you and will declare you unto me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eyes see you. Job went through a lot to get to the point to where he really truly understood what God's plan for him was. Again, you compare what Job went through, losing all of his family, all of his wealth, everything. All he had left was the three friends, if you could call them friends, the way they treated him, the way they talked to him. But what happened in the end? God prospered him. He had more than he had at the beginning. Through God, all things are possible. In times of transition as we go through them, do we really take the time to really strive to see God, to listen to what He has to say to us? Think of the story of Israel crossing the Promised Land, and they took 40 years to do it. Now, that's not a 40-year journey, even walking. Walking backwards or walking sideways, walking upside down. You can do it in less than 40 years. But they were transitioning. God was preparing them for the Promised Land. And it's a classic example. So if you would turn over to the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 3, beginning of verse 8, it says, Harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works for 40 years. Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, They do always err in their heart. They have not known my ways. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast to the end. Hold it all, our confidence that we had at the very beginning. When we first began to be involved with God, the excitement we had. Can we hold all that to the end? Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. So we see that they could enter in because of unbelief. Skipping down to chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, Let us, therefore, fear, lest a promise being left of us of entering into his rest, any of you should come short. Verse 15 says, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Jesus Christ has been through everything we've ever been through and more. He is touched. He is there for our infirmities, but was in all points tempted just as like we are, yet without sin. So verse 16, one of my favorite scriptures in the Bible, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. Sometimes I think what all of us need, I know I do, is an old-fashioned, what they call attitude adjustment, of where our strength and where our help really comes from. Joshua knew when God was preparing him to lead Israel into the promised land. In Joshua chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, it says, be strong and of a good courage. For unto this people shall you divide for an inheritance the land which I swore unto your fathers to give to them. In verse 7, only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe what to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Turn not from it to the right hand, turn not from it to the left hand, that you may prosper where you're going to go. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate upon it therein day and night, that you may observe again to do according to all that is written therein. For then, and only then, you shall make your way prosperous. We want our way to be prosperous. We keep the words of the Word. And then you shall have good success. When we do in our lives what God told Joshua, and then combine that with what the Apostle Paul told a young Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. I'm just going to read it. He said, for God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Brethren, we are guaranteed ultimate success. We are guaranteed to prosper in spite of any difficulties we go through, in spite of any trying changes in our lifetime, the transitions that we must sometimes navigate in this life. It's interesting to note that even Solomon, and you know, if you start reading Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, you get pretty discouraged about how everything is nothing but, you know, waste of time. It's fruitless. But yet Solomon, even Solomon, after listing all these seasons of life, it's interesting in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 11, right after that he says, he has made everything beautiful in his time. Sometimes our times are not beautiful. Sometimes they're difficult. Sometimes they're maybe even ugly. But God has said, in time, they will all be beautiful. The Apostle Paul, again, in spite of all the things that he had gone through, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 24, let's read a couple of them. Of the Jews, five times I received 40 stripes, save one. Now, my mom gave me a few stripes, but she never gave me 40 or 39. She was, you know, two or three were more than enough. At least I hope they were. Thrice, Paul says, I was beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Three times I suffered shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in the deep. I don't know if he was hanging on to a board. He didn't have a life preserver. They didn't have those then. Any of you ever been out in a watery situation where you had to hang on for a day and a night? I haven't. In journeys often, in perils of waters, perils of robbers, in perils by my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in the wilderness, in the sea, in perils among false brethren, perils and perils and perils and perils, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and in nakedness. That doesn't sound like the life of, you know, of easy. But yet he wrote, the verse that we went through earlier in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to His purpose. And Paul went through a few things. More than I've ever been through and more than I ever hope I have to go through. But as you and I navigate through this life we have been called, as we face the sometimes difficult, sometimes very difficult transitions of life, don't ever forget the answers are in the Word. Seek to God's Word, to meditate upon it, to pray, to seek His face as He tells us to do. And then we can begin to better understand how to accomplish His Word and to fulfill His will for each of us in this life. In closing, I don't know I could read of a better summary than this verse. You all know it. Many of you have parts of it memorized. But the 23rd Psalms says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You are with me, Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You have prepared a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You have anointed my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Amen. And that's how you navigate through life.